Hey, welcome everyone to another installment of the only podcast that's brought to you live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. It's the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and man, it's taken forever to get this episode up and on the airwaves, partly because I have had a bout with the flu. That's right, my WrestleMania weekend was spent under a bunch of blankets on the couch. You know, sneezing, coughing, feeling achy, but you know, enough about that. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. This episode is going to be certainly an interesting one, and I want to tell you about it, but first let's talk about March 21st, the big OCW anniversary event out in Coshocton, Ohio. I was blessed to be part of it once again. It was at the Hopewell School, and man, oh man, that place was packed to the rafters! And they saw some things that I'm pretty sure many of us are still scratching our head about. And let's talk about that big, puzzling, mysterious event that occurred. Joey Vengeance came out and said that he was going to cash in his opportunity for an OCW heavyweight title shot. He took on Robbie Starr, and while he won by disqualification, what happened after the match is what was the most shocking part, in which Juice Jennings attacked Joey Vengeance and turned his back on Joey and all the fans of OCW. Now, I still don't have any knowledge as to what the heck that's all about, as Juice Jennings has kind of been a man that's been missing in action, so to speak, since the 21st. No one's heard from him. But whatever the case may be, when OCW's back in action, folks, I'm sure Joey Vengeance is going to look for some answers from Juice Jennings. We also saw the crowning of a new OCW Ohio Heritage Champion. No Shame at Jimmy Shane finally captured that title from Takahashi. And of course, we were visited by the franchise, Shane Douglas, who I have always been a big fan of, so it was very nice to meet him. I was a fan of him in ECW, WCW, UWF, etc. And he's a very, very pleasant gentleman. He was very kind, very respectful. It's really cool to meet those folks that you idolize and you find out that they're just as cool as you thought they would be. So, overall, if you did not get an opportunity to catch that show, well, you know what? Don't let it happen again. Come out to the next OCW event. You can check out all that information by going over to www.ocwrestling.net. I'm going to take a quick drink, because as you can hear, I'm still got a little bit of the cough and a little bit of the congestion from the flu. There you go. A little drink of water and we're ready to go. All right, my two guests on this episode of the PVD Cast. Well, one of them has probably got the quickest turnaround as a repeat guest. Ken Epstein, who I talked to back in January about independent comics. He is one of my guests, along with Mr. Bob Corby. Now, both of these gentlemen are stalwarts in the local area here, especially when it comes to independent comics. As I said, Ken was on just a couple months ago. Bob has, of course, helped for many, many years to put on the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. Of course, he's also the man behind Back Porch Comics. So, those two gentlemen are going to come on and talk about not only Space, also known as, I should say, it's what the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo is known as, Space, but also talking about Extra Space, which is an event that's going to be happening Saturday, April 11th, at Strongwater in Columbus, down on West Town Street. So those guys are going to come on and talk a little bit about the history of Space, how Extra Space got started, and just talk about indie comics in general, or comics in general. So sit back, enjoy my conversation with Ken Epstein and Bob Corby. Extra Space is coming. The Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo returns to Columbus on Saturday, April 11th, at the Strongwater Food and Spirits at 401 West Town Street is where you'll find Extra Space. head to backporchcomics.com for more information. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the PBD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando. I'm sitting down with two gentlemen, one of which appeared about a month ago? No, 2 months ago, January.
A while back.
Mr. Ken Epstein is joining me, Mr. Bob Corby. So, gentlemen, hi, welcome.
Howdy.
Hi, John.
I think you're the quickest turnaround. I've had many repeat guests, Ken, but you're the quickest one to be.
It was demand, right? You called me up because people were emailing you.
People were emailing.
Bring that Ken guy back.
I do have a lot.
He makes me feel good about being only mediocre smart. Because he's.
It was all the emails, the plethora of emails that I got.
I have a lot of email accounts, so. Yeah.
So you were behind all of them, weren't you, Bob?
I won't say all of them.
All right, but the reason I have you guys coming on is because, and I touched base about it on my last episode of my podcast, is there's an event coming up real soon, and it's kind of got a, should we say, weird kind of story to it, or unfortunate story, or what would be the best
adjective? I'd say it's not unfortunate.
It's not unfortunate. I don't know how to describe it, to be honest.
It's odd.
It's odd, okay.
Let me, it is extra space, that's what's coming up.
Should we talk about space first and then talk about extra space, or
that'd work?
Okay.
Originally we were doing space, the small press and alternative comics expo up at the hotel on the north side of town here, and with about 2 months to go, I found out that the hotel closed without any notice for us. So I immediately got in contact with the people over at the Northland Performing Arts Center, and we were able to... I had already been talking to them about moving the show there next year, so okay. I already had some things in the works there. So they were able to find a date in July that they were open, so we could just jump right in there. So we rescheduled, spent most of that month changing online calendars and all kinds of things like that. And in the meanwhile, we did have a lot of... first thing I did was contact all the exhibitors. We sold about 150 tables, mm-hmm. and we were sold out. So the first thing I did was find out if everybody or most of them could make the change to that date, and the overwhelming majority of them were able to do that. So we just went ahead and rescheduled it. And then Ken... you want to take it from there?
Sure. I guess to kind of tack on. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with like the history of space.
Well, we're going to get into that because I definitely want to talk about it.
But it's a kind of a beloved event, and I think there were a lot of people planning on being there at that time. There were a lot of vendors who had travel plans or schedule plans. They couldn't reschedule for the new one. Or they had, plane tickets or something
like
that.
Right, and this is for April 11th, by the way.
Yeah, for April 11th. But that original weekend, they had plans that were kind of immutable. And I had had some stuff tied into space as well, where I was going to release my new Western comic at space. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a position where I needed an event anyway. So what I decided to do...
A lot of us that way. Two books that were going to be released.
Okay.
There, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so I decided if I have to plan an event anyway, why not open it up to everybody who kind of was thrown for a loop by the change.
So let's back up for a minute. Let's talk about the history of space.
Okay.
The Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. This is what they've... 15th year?
16th year? 16th
year. 16th year. So
your anniversary present was a new location.
Right. Yeah. Well, this will be our fifth location, I think.
Okay, all right. So where was it before, prior to the it was the Ramada.
It was the Ramada, right. And before that, we were at the Aladdin Shrine Complex up on Schrock.
Okay.
Before that, it was the Holiday Inn down off of Bryce, or near Bryce, which is now Fort Rapids.
Yeah.
That's why we had to move, because they squeezed down the room we were in to some very small room now from what it was. And we originally started over at the Rhodes Building at the fairgrounds.
Okay. All right. So this will be the fifth stop on the tour, so to speak. But tell some of the listeners at home, like, what would they expect if they came to space? Like, from previous years, what would they expect?
Just a lot of different comics. I mean, all over the place. I actually don't ever know what's going to be there because it seems like every year we get a good percentage of people that are brand new. And, you know, it's changed over the years. Mm-hmm. We had a big horror thing going for years. And and now things are changing more to, I don't know what we want to call them anymore. They used to be autobiographical, but I think they changed the name to memoir comics.
Okay. All right.
So there's a lot of that going on. Yeah, a lot of different fringe groups are kind of coming in, you know, with their own kind of work. And it's kind of interesting to see how that evolved over time. When we first started, it was like a bunch of guys, and then it turned into couples, and now we get families. So
that's cool.
It's kind of interesting how that has changed over those years, and how the readership of comics has changed.
Well, and I think the people who make them too, and how they come at it, because you'll see everything from like a matchbook size mini comic, all the way up to like a full length giant phone book size graphic novel.
Right.
And I think one of the nice things about meeting the creators there, as a guy who kind of just jumped into it myself, is to see everybody else who just kind of jumped into it themselves and built it backwards. You know, it's is what I want to do, and then they had to figure out how to get there. And I think that's feel that creativity.
That's kind of where I started. I wanted a show about comics. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about all the other stuff that you see at regular comic conventions anymore. That was kind of the main thing. And early on, I tried really hard to get big name people to come or somebody that somebody might know even to come.
Sure. And didn't have
a whole lot of luck with that, but it kept growing by itself. Mm-hmm. So there's we do get some good people. We got Nate Powell's coming back this year, who's just finished up March volume 2 for I'm forgetting names here.
Congressman Lewis on Top Shelf Comics.
Right.
Well, and Nate's a good example of somebody who wasn't anybody at the
became somebody. Yeah, he's been there since we started, and you know, became better and better, and was
and
nice
just
enough
moved
to
up, moved up.
Was nice well, enough yeah. to come back. Yeah.
Well, he's a testimony to just always working and always doing the right stuff as far as networking and things go. I mean, he's got an amazing talent that he's really, you know, fostered in every way that you should foster it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, has there been is there still a few folks that are the originals, if you will, like that you have from 16 years ago? Is there
a lot of those local guys?
A lot of them.
The Sunday Comics guys. You know, we were there at the beginning, and they're still hanging around. So.
Yeah, I'm not an original guy. I can't speak for that.
a lot of my mini comic friends from back in the 80s.
Yeah.
They're still coming. Ian Shire.
Okay.
Larry Blake, people like that. You know, all those old timers from what officially was called the New Wave comics back then. I don't know where they. I never bought into the name.
Yeah, I've never even heard the name. I'm going to be honest. That shows maybe my ignorance. Okay, one other thing that, you know, when you have space, you always have a space anthology. Would you like to talk a little bit about what those are? Because, you know, if you had one for every year, I think, back to...
No, we 2011. Don't have them back. We don't have them back that far. We did about four or five of them.
Okay.
And this year, I don't think we had one planned. Kind of interest in that kind of waned the last couple
really?
Years.
Oh, really?
Really? And what was happening, I think, we were diluting things too much. There's a lot of anthologies show up there, mm-hmm. and a lot of different groups are doing their own. I do my own Oak Comics mm-hmm. every year, which is this will be issue 23, which will debut at Extra Space. This is one of the books we were talking about earlier. And I think I had, you know, people competing, you know, am I going to do it for this one, or am I going to do it for that one?
Okay.
Plus, there was a lot of other ones, too, so it's... So we just kind of backed off of that, and whoever wants to do their own anthology and with their group, then that's great, because it's, you know, there's going to be plenty of work there.
Gotcha. Okay. So,
and the proceeds for the space anthology, though, kind of went to the space prize,
right?
And space is one of the I think, as far as I can tell, it's the only... A lot of shows have prizes connected to them. I believe that the Space Prize, just from what I've seen, is the only one that actually offers a cash prize.
Right, okay.
The other ones, I've heard nightmares about artists having to buy their own plaques.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, and buy their own trophy. Yeah, there you go.
Just go to the Goodwill store, get a bowling trophy.
And the Space Anthology was a fundraiser for that.
Okay.
And I think, and this is just me, and Bob's going to cringe when I say it, but I really hope that some of the local businesses will start kicking into that prize, because...
We were going to put their name on the plaque somewhere if they want.
You know. Well, you got to go out and solicit them. I think that's the part you're going to cringe about.
I am terrible at knocking on doors asking for...
And I presume that that's a major con, if you will, for this type of con. See what I did there? Anyways, and that's probably the big negative, I suppose, when you're promoting this type of show, is trying to get the local businesses to chip in. But have you had any?
We've had some sponsors.
Okay, because I think of that. I read somewhere Big Fun Columbus has chipped in, right?
Yeah. Well, for extra space.
For extra space, correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Generally, where I do put an effort is for advertising in our program book. I pay for the program book. Right. So I do get a lot of sponsors for that. So it's kind of like I didn't want to double duty them. Right. And we haven't been doing too bad with the Space Prize, just coming out of the gate. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have people come in paying to get in, so a lot of that money goes into there. It's been working, and I've always been trying, instead of, you know, trying to shake down my exhibitors for more money every year, I would rather have more people come through the door and pay to get in. And then you have a very interested audience.
Yeah.
I know some people like the free show thing, but...
You're gonna waggle your finger at me about making the show free?
No, that's cool. That's whatever. but I was always trying to get the whole focus here was to get people to pay for these comics.
Right.
My philosophy is instead of asking them for the 5-day but it's not a lot to get into space. Right. I think it's very fair, in fact.
Sure.
But it can also be $5 going directly to an event.
Sure. Right.
Sure. I understand that.
And extra space, the reason I've been able to do it for free is I did solicit the sponsors. So it's not like it's gonna be I'm not jerking the exhibitors for that money either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the businesses, like Holy Craft, What the Rock, businesses like that that chipped in for sponsors are people who have done a lot of shows themselves, so they understand that feeling of getting the rug pulled out from under.
Right, and they're also the independent spirit in their particular businesses too. And they understand what it takes to make your mark, if you will, in their respective industries. So definitely.
And then the pleasant surprise has been the sponsors from the comic community. I guess the top would be Jeff Smith kicking in a little money, but almost more impressive is the creators who have and the fans who have, like Christian Hoffer, who's a local journalist and comics journalist. He's doing a sponsorship. Victor Dandridge, who's a local publisher, he's kicking in some money, extra money above his table money as
so
a sponsorship.
How many folks will be at Extra Space?
How many vendors? Right now, 28 tables. Some of those are half tables.
Okay.
And it'll cap at 30 tables total.
Okay.
I don't remember off the top of my head how many are half tables and how many are full.
Then there's going to be at least two groups coming. Carol Tyler's class from University of Cincinnati, who work on comics, and she brings a truckload of people up.
So each one
of them will have their own mini comic. A group I used to work with, the Art Explorer Post, that's stationed over at Pack Rat Comics right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's high school kids that are working on their art portfolios that will, trying to get into art school. And they have some comic project. I used to run the comic division over there. Now Jonathan Riddle, who's another Sunday Comics guy, and a CCAD grad who's actually better qualified than I was to do this, is taking over. So there'll be a large group of them with a couple tables selling some of their work.
That's cool.
Well, and actually, there's a class at CCAD right now that's working on a project called Spitball, where I think there are 7 to 8 of students involved with it. I think it's an independent study kind of thing. And they have actual professional writers who have given them scripts and they've illustrated it.
Oh, wow, that would be interesting.
Yeah, so I don't think they'll have the book ready, but they'll be there kind of
to talk about the process
and
whatnot.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
So they'll be there, and then another group that has a table, they're not creators, but there's a group of women readers and enthusiasts and fans called The Circle, based here in Columbus.
Okay.
And they're volunteering. They're doing a lot of volunteer work for me, and they asked if they could have a table. So they will as well. And I believe they're doing something of a bake sale, which I think is pretty cool. So you can go get some good frosting on your fingers and read everybody's comments.
Now, from all over the United States, people come for space, and I assume also now extra space as well. What's the farthest that someone's come? Have you had anybody outside of the United States?
I had a woman sign up, and her address was in China.
Really?
And it just freaked me out completely, and I emailed her back, and I said, "You're not coming all this way just for this show, are you?" And she said, no, I'm just planning on visiting, because she's from here.
Oh, okay. But she was
so
good. Currently.
But it was like the longest anybody traveled.
That's the record.
Yeah. And we're getting somebody from L.A.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we get somebody from the West Coast every year. So
okay. Predominantly from the Midwest is where most of the vendors come from.
Midwest and a large group of Columbus people.
Yeah, obviously.
Although it's, you know, the nice thing about Columbus is it is close enough that you can pull in people from Pittsburgh, Chicago,
Indianapolis. Most those are real short drives in. Mm-hmm. So
we put the for space. I put the hometown up on the website so everybody can kind of see where everybody's coming from.
Cool. Well, okay, let's talk real quick about where Extra Space is going to be, real quick.
Okay, it's in the gallery space at Strongwater Columbus. And Strongwater is a I guess they call them a gastropub nowadays. I don't know if that's the official word. It's a pub with grub, but it's kind of upscale, and it's in Franklinton. It's right next to 400, same building as 400 West Rich Street, which is a big artist studio space in Columbus.
Okay.
So,
renovated warehouse.
It's a renovated warehouse, essentially. It's a really cool space.
Because there's a farmer's market there, if I remember correctly.
There is. In fact, the farmer's market, part of the reason I chose it as a location was I was really worried that with a month's time, I couldn't get a lot of people in, which people have been responding really well, so we'll probably get people, but there is the farmer's market there on the same day and the brunch crowd from Strongwater.
Cool.
So we'll get extra people just from that.
That's very smart. It's a very smart idea.
I've been talking to the event coordinator, Steven, there before about doing something. Because as you know, I do a lot of music-related stuff.
Yes,
so I was looking at it as a venue for doing a comics and music type show already.
Okay.
So that's kind of where that's at. It'll be a little different from space. Instead of having to go out to go to the bar, there'll be a bar right there.
And that's
which is great because the more you drink, the better my comics look. But
and that's obviously Saturday, April 11th.
April 11th from 12 to 5.
12 to 5, okay.
Yeah. And we mean that we're gonna there's another event in the evening, so we have to pretty much clear out at 5. They were really nice to squeeze me into that time.
Well, that's cool. That's good. That's awesome. And so going back to space.
Okay.
That is of course July. Let's see, 18th and 19th. Right.
July 18th and 19th. Right.
At the Northland
Northland Performing Arts Center. It's the old Northland Mall, which the front of it is a state office building, and the back is a nice, a great space, just a big open area where
it's right next to the Menards, actually.
It's
for
right
those,
next to the Menards.
For those that
if you're at Menards looking over, you're looking at what looks like the entrance, but we're actually going to bring people in on the other side because it's closer to the parking. So we'll have some signage up to get people to the right door.
I'm looking forward to it.
I've never been
We've talked about this over the years. The Ramada was great because they gave you a great price for many years, but I was not a fan of the venue. So I think this is a problem with a significant silver lining, because the Northland Performing Arts Center looks great.
Yeah, I've been... as I mentioned, it's next to Menards. I've been to that Menards a couple of times. I've seen it. It looks like a beautiful building, and I've never stepped inside of it. So, do they call it the NPAC? Because I kept seeing that acronym thrown around, or is that not the
official? I've heard them call it that. Yeah, and it's the initials on there. I got so used to saying the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo that the Northland Performing Arts Center isn't that difficult.
All right, well, Bob, let's talk about something else here real quick, because obviously, as I mentioned on my last podcast, that all the information for Space and for Extra Space is on backporchcomics.com.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about Backporch Comics, all right, if you will. So give us a little history about that particular project.
Where do you want to start? I've been drawing comics since I was in grade school.
Okay.
And got in trouble a lot for it.
Sure.
So
okay.
One of the things I really loved that happened at Space is we've had educational panels where we've had five or six people from different universities talking about education in comics.
Sure.
And I'm sitting there thinking, now, this is the stuff that got me in trouble. And that.
Oh, I know.
It was like revenge. I loved it.
Oh, I know. That trend has swinged real quick, just as a side note, in education, because, I was the same way. John, you're not allowed to read comic books or wrestling magazines. Right. That's not literature.
I had to sneak my comics in under my shirt so my mom didn't catch me buying them when I was a kid. But then I went to college, high school, college. Started drawing some stuff in college, and then when I got out, I found about the small press, basically, which is in the 80s was people were trading mini comics through the mail. We find each other out on different fanzines or
pre-internet.
yeah, pre-internet. I found out about a lot of by doing that. I found out about quite a few people here in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1988, I did the first O Comics, which is Ohio Comics, which was an anthology. And I'm still, that's the book that's coming out for Extra Space.
Yeah, I have.
I started that back in 88 after I seen a lot of people, like Michael Nino, who's a big local, he does a lot of work for
with
Ken here. Was one of the first guys I found out. And I found out about him through a fanzine that came out of Las Vegas, of all places.
Like, really?
Yeah. So I said, hey, this guy's like across town here. So I put that together, and that's kind of the beginning, really the beginning of the publishing. And then I do a lot of my own stuff. I've released a couple, collections of my work. A lot of the mini comic series then put them together in a paperback. So.
Well, what's some of the current titles that people can take a look at? Because I have right now The Leaves. Was the last one?
Leaves was released last year at Space, which is a collection of my Bunny Blues Leaves storyline, and it's kind of a romantic comedy, road comedy kind of thing with the same characters I did in the I used in the previous book. That book was about two detective stories, so I got tired of doing the mysteries and just wanted to move on. At Space this year, I'm going to release Amazing Tales of Entropy, which is a collection of all my science fiction fantasy stories that I've done for other anthologies or were actually in O Comics over the years. And some of that stuff goes back into the 70s even.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been sitting in my house for a while now, waiting to be released. But I'm going to hold on to that one for Space and O Comics 23, which has other people involved, they're a little more anxious to get it out, so
we're going
to have that one premiere at Extra Space. So
okay,
nice to have something new for both.
What has been some of the inspiration for you to create, like for example, with the science fiction, different mini comics that you made? Was it like Star Wars? Was those things that inspired you, or what inspired you within those?
Well, I'm older than that.
Too old. Okay.
Well, I've enjoyed Star Wars.
My son was
the guy. That was his his thing.
Inspiration comes in various different forms.
Oh yeah, I mean, 2001: A Space Odyssey was stunned. I was stunned. Forbidden Planet. That was before that.
Yeah,
those
were
like the two key things. And I was
not that old.
Oh, yes, I am. I used to read a lot of science fiction back in high school.
Right.
So,
So that was some of the inspiration. What about some of the inspirations for some of your other tales?
Well, the comic end of it is
Jack Kirby.
Yeah, sure. Jack Kirby. You know, Fantastic Four from back in the 60s. That's kind of where everything started for me.
So, All right. So are you still reading comics right
now? Yeah, I read some.
You still read some?
I'm reading the Space Prize books. I spend a good chunk of time here. Yeah, we'll get over 100 entries, so we get a lot of reading material every year.
Gotcha.
What am I reading? Well, I'm getting the new Sandman series, which is taking its good old time.
Oh, yeah, that thing. What issue are they on?
I think issue four came out.
Four, yeah.
I haven't read the last two or so. I'm just kind of going to get them all and read them all at once, but... So that, what else am I reading? Usagi Yojimbo, I've been keeping it. He hasn't been doing it for a few years now, but he's supposed to start up again. So I actually caught up because I was a year or two behind.
So that's a sad story, though.
Yeah.
his wife passed away.
Yeah.
Stan Sakai's wife passed away, but... That's why there was a pause, I think.
There was a pause, Did you... would you say that you're more towards superheroes, or do you think that you find other... Bob, what do you find?
Not really. I think I kind of stopped...
With superheroes?
Reading superheroes back around 1980.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I continued to collect them until 1990. But, I've always been out looking for different things.
And
I spent a lot of time, like I said, in the small press, looking for strange things, mini comics, and... So
who are some of the favorite creators, collaborators, that people that are listening to this podcast should go out and check out? Like, if you were to, I hate to use the word endorse.
Locally?
Yeah, or out there, you know, wherever.
Well, you need to Nick's Comics, obviously.
Well, yeah. Oh, look at that.
I don't think Craig Bogart gets enough credit.
Okay.
His Ineffables series is incredible.
Yeah, I picked some of those up at the last space. Yeah. They are
Ineffables is good. I agree.
And Dara Naragi is doing his Persian Blues.
Correct.
And I think they have one coming out soon, or they're working on one right now.
I'm not sure. Brent's working on a bunch of stuff. The artist for that's also working on a book with Terry Eisel about... Terry Eisel's first book was a historical book, or it was a trilogy of books about a Holocaust survivor, and very, very dark stuff. But Terry's an ESL teacher, so it's good. His new one's going to be a fictional thing about a young girl who's a Somali immigrant. So that should be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Brent's doing the art for that too.
Yeah, I saw some stuff online. He's been posting some drawings. So
I will throw this out there that Belligerent Kitties was a massive hit. Ken, you don't understand. It was a
I'm gonna say something here that I probably shouldn't. I've been saying it all along. People keep saying you don't see the potential of this Belligerent Kitties thing. I do. I really do. I have zero love for it. It was a joke that like took off.
But you know what? It's a happy accident. But I think
anyway, if any of your podcast listeners are have any experience in such things, I would totally partner up with somebody who just wanted to take Belligerent Kitties and run with it. We'll split the money. I just can't do it. I can't take time out of the stuff I actually want to do. Kitties.
The two copies I picked up, okay? I wanted one for myself, and then I sent one to my cousin, who is a long time collector and highly opinionated on comics. And so I was like, well, I'm throwing it in with his birthday. Mail it off to him. I get an email, he's like, Belligerent Kitties was awesome. There you go. That's enough said. And then my copy got stolen from me by my girlfriend, who took it to work and passed it around the office. And it was a massive hit. She goes, "You don't understand. We didn't get anything done that day." I was like, "Well, I will let Ken know that."
It always shows. It's what I sell the most copies of. So,
but, all right.
Anybody willing to work with Ken on the future issues of that, just be aware that he hasn't paid me yet for the page.
Well, it actually hasn't made any money yet. So that's the thing, is it sells, but at $2 a pop, you know, it's hard to make your money back, which I think is something that, you know, going back to, like, space and extra space and why Bob and I kind of have gone out of our way, like Bob for years and me with this, to make sure the exhibitors get a fair shake is, you know, there's no money in it. You know, if you're paying $65 for a table and traveling, you know, for space and traveling from anywhere and taking a hotel room, it probably a good day for you is breaking even if you're selling $5, $2, even $10 comics.
Yeah. And I think we talked about it too. When you promote a show, I think that if you are the type of promoter that makes sure that things are on the fair and even and give those vendors or those exhibitors an opportunity to make money, then I think you're doing the right thing. Because I'm sure that there are plenty of promoters out there that promote shows that cut corners and screw over the vendors and whatnot. And you may have...
Oh, let's accentuate the positive.
I think that that's an important aspect to this particular, mm-hmm. you know, endeavor, is doing the right thing by those people.
And I think a lot of people coming, again, from the outside in and building it backwards don't realize that that kind of community exists right now. I didn't when I first did. I think maybe on the first show I mentioned going to space for the first time and not realizing there were so many other people in town who, you know, or Ohio or across the country, however you want to look at it, doing the same thing I was doing. And it blows you away. Yeah. And when you get involved with it, it really draws you in a strong community sense, where you feel like supporting these people just because you know they're pouring their guts out into these things.
Yeah,
and that goes all the way back to the 80s. When we were mm-hmm. doing the fanzines, we used to get together at shows. That first up Mid-Ohio Con back in 88, I think we had about 12 or 13 people that were doing their own stuff. They all showed up at my table, and it was kind of interesting. I have a picture somewhere. I got to fish that out for Throwback Thursdays.
Facebook. Oh, I'm on Facebook all the time.
Yeah, that was the comment from Bob before we started recording, that you were always on the Facebook. I just called it the Facebook. I sound like an old man,
but
don't I?
But even when we started Space in 2000, I didn't have to go further than, you know, go back to all my friends that I was trading many comics with for years. And that I had 30 people ready to go. Mm-hmm. It was that easy. So... because there is that community, and there always has been that community, and we're just trying to continue it forward, so hope it continues. Yeah. Yeah, it's always been the nice thing about spaces. It seems like most people get along. I don't have too many complaints.
Yeah, okay.
People get along. I think there's been a distinct warm-up in the local media that maybe there wasn't there in the past, where we're getting a little more action with the papers.
What do you attribute that to? Do you think it's because comics have been a big business now, that you know that you know what I mean? So since Marvel's pumping out all these giant titles and movies and that, do you think that trickles down, so to speak? Or do you just, what do you attribute the warmness of the media?
I think mouthy guys like me have been complaining about not getting any. I really do. I mean, it's not that I've been mouthy, but when I came into it, you know, I already had some connections in those areas. And so I was getting some, you know, I already knew people at the Alive from doing record stuff at the record store and stuff like that. And I had connections outside of that. And then, you know, there are some guys in town. I talked about Victor Dandridge earlier. That guy never stops, you know. He's pretty amazing in that sense. So... there are a lot of people who are actively networking and making those connections. And I think that was a harder... maybe it's an easier sell, like, because media is such an expected thing now. I don't think it necessarily is comics media.
Okay. I
think there are just more opportunities now, and it's lit, you know. It's opened up to
and even with social media, I suppose, too, that has allowed the media to catch on and go, wow, this is being tweeted out.
Social media has a history to it. Even if it's not being tweeted out, they can do a Google search and see what you've mm-hmm. done and kind of come up with pictures and get a feel for what it is. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just don't want to give Marvel and DC any credit.
No, yeah. Well,
because I don't necessarily feel like trickle down from what they do to what I do.
Okay. Do you agree or disagree, Bob?
No, I agree with that. Okay. I think, though, we are, as a country, a lot more local-oriented now than we had been back in, say, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't the big Marvel comic, you know, mainstream convention, and people didn't pay a lot of attention to me back then. Mm-hmm. But now I say, hey, I got 50 people here locally doing comics, and I see people's eyes light up. Okay. So it's,
well, there kind of is, it's exciting,
little,
isn't it?
Right, yeah.
There's a little, it's kind of a swing in thinking that we want to focus more on local than that. Okay, all right.
Well, and I think maybe it wasn't clear before. You know, when I went down to Memphis a little while ago, I went to the Stax Records Museum, and they had this map up on the wall of, like, the neighborhood around the studio, and it had the list of everybody who lived in the neighborhood, like, in their original house pinpointed, and it really brought home how, you know, this, you know, what ended up being a giant hit-making machine was a very local, community-oriented mm-hmm. thing, and that's where its power originally came from. You know, before the gangsters moved in, bankrupt. But which I'm waiting for any minute now. I'm there to sell out to the gangsters.
And there's just much more awareness of something, like, especially a small thing. When I first started this thing, I wouldn't get that rare interview somewhere, mm-hmm. and the first thing the guy would say is something like, "He goes, I bet you're waiting for this weekend, right?" And I said, What are you talking about? Oh, the new Superman movie. I thought, I didn't even know there was one. You know, that's not what we're about.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But there was no awareness of this at all. And now it's a little different. Now they know what it is and that it is small stuff and different stuff. So it's kind of a little easier.
Yeah. Maybe in that sense, the mm-hmm. stuff like maybe Scott Pilgrim and stuff like mm-hmm. that helped us out.
Oh, yeah.
Although I don't know if that's necessarily connected to a comic in origin, or Walking Dead, I guess people know that came from
a comic. And so,
you know, and I think that maybe helps.
And I think that the popularity of comics in general has increased, mm-hmm. you know, over from when it was in the 80s, as you were kind of the dork for reading them or whatnot. And it's become much more, dare I say, socially acceptable.
I used to not read comics outside.
I don't care.
Right. That comes with age, though, too. You don't care what people think about it. So.
Well, and you know, it's being a dork has cachet now. There was the whole nerd chic thing that developed through the 2000s.
Sure. Yeah.
Which, you know, certainly I don't think anybody would ever call me chic, but you know, I think that's led to a level of acceptance.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we're getting up to right about 40 minutes or so, what any other topics you want to talk about in terms of whether it's space or back porch comics or extra space or comics in general?
No. I mean, I guess I would be remiss if I didn't plug the fact again that I got a comic starting at Extra Space, the third issue of my Western. I'm excited.
I got the
printer proof the other day.
Because the last time we talked, you had just released, didn't you just release issue 1 and 2, I think, in January? Or no?
No, Comics Western? Things don't move that quickly. I was getting ready for Belligerent Giddies at that point.
Actually. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. All right.
But the Western I get out about once a year.
Okay.
So,
all right.
And last year, kind of things piled up and it got delayed. So this is, I'm still fulfilling my obligation to my 2014 subscribers with this one. But
so you owe me one, yeah.
What? I owe you one, yeah. So, and that's got art by Michael Nino, who we mentioned, and my friend Bob Starker, and it's built outwards from. The first issue was kind of the last story because everybody dies in the first issue, and
and you work your way backwards.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of playing with that idea that a Western's a time machine to begin with.
Yeah, sure.
So
sure.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what other new stuff I see at the show. There are a lot of opening up the extra space to, like, beginning with the people who had the most need. There were a lot of people I didn't know. mm-hmm. to begin with, so I'm excited to see what they
bring.
Well,
it's kind of one of the things that's going to start happening again on Space. I just got to the point where we were going to start showing premiere comics. Mm-hmm. We have a page up there where, okay, here's all the books that are going to show up here for the first time. And now, maybe that's not going to happen, that there won't be the first time they're there, but they'll be new to Space. Mm-hmm. So we had just gotten started on that when we had to hit the reset button. So that's why I kind of, at a little bit of a loss, I have collected biographical information on all the exhibitors, or they have submitted it with their application. So all that stuff's going to start coming up online here shortly.
Okay.
So I was like just under the start line to do all that stuff when we had a redo here.
Gotcha.
So that's something that they, you know, if they keep going back there, you know, they'll see that information starting to pop up, and you know, we'll be putting up stuff on Facebook and.
Well, let's talk about the social media. Where can folks find out all about Space and Extra Space?
Well, the website is for me and Space is www.backporchcomics.com.
All right,
and you can go one way, see the big star. That's for the Space with Cosmo there. That's the Space side, and then there's the little house with the back porch on it. That, mm-hmm. That's the back porch side where you can see my work in particular. Then I'm on Facebook, just Bob Corby.
You
can probably find me pretty easily. And we do have a Space page.
There's a Space,
and a Space group. And a
the Space group gets a little more action to it than the Space page.
That's because that's me, and I'm not as...
On you on Twitter, too.
And Twitter, and there's a Tumblr page.
Oh, okay.
Which
all
is
right.
At, I think it's spacecon.com. SpaceCon, I think that's the name of it.
Yeah, .tumblr.com.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that.
And Ken, you're at
nickscomics.com with an X, not the name Nick.
I forgot about that. We did talk about that.
Well, yeah. And I just say it every time because it throws people for whatever reason.
Okay.
And then all the you know, all the Facebook and Twitter is Facebook/Nick's Comics and Twitter's Nick's Comics.
All right.
I got Tumblr too now. I have a guy who does my Tumblr.
Okay.
That's pretty fancy.
Yes,
yeah.
Google.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I have person.
Well, on Facebook, Ken's good at leaving straight lines lying out there, so I'm usually on top of them. So if you need to find me, I'm probably somewhere in the comments.
All right, well, guys, thanks for coming on. And people, if you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, or heck, if you're not, you know, you got nothing going on, April 11th, come on down. Yeah.
It's a good road trip. So I mean, it's a five-hour event. Yeah. If you're anywhere within 3 hours, I think it's...
most definitely.
Come and have brunch, buy some comics.
Exactly.
It's free to get in.
Or come on out July 18th and 19th.
Right.
Make a weekend of it.
Right.
Come on out and check out Space. But
that would be great, too.
That would be good, too. So, but, guys, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
All right. As I mentioned before, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and then I'll be back to close up this episode.
Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet, and it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North, and you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PBD Cast, where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you got to go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You can check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus, or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ken Epstein and Bob Corby. Hopefully you found it interesting. Hopefully you found it insightful. And, you know, both those guys have got some really cool stuff going on, both in their own little projects as well as these kind of, I guess you could say, monumental undertakings that they're kind of taking on. You know, you heard the story about why Extra Space is happening this year. And again, it's happening Saturday, April 11th from 12 to 5 at the Strongwater, 401 West Town Street here in Columbus. And of course, you know, Bob, the man behind Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, happening July 18th and 19th at the Northland Performing Arts Center in North Columbus. So check out backporchcomics.com if you get the chance for all the information about both those events. And hey, if you love comics, stop out. Check it out. I can tell you right now, Space is really fun. It's really unique. You get to see a lot of different artists and creators presenting a lot of unique things. So if you get the chance, stop on out. All right, with that, since I'm a little bit hoarse, a little bit raspy, if you will, we're going to keep it short. I'm going to get into here not only Orlando's faves, but Orlando's hates. So let's cue that music. All right. So Orlando's faves. I have two here. One of which I'm not going to elaborate much on because I think that it's been stated on the previous episode of this podcast that some predictions were made about WrestleMania, but one of my faves was WrestleMania 31. I thought it was a pretty good overall pay-per-view. I enjoyed myself watching it, even though I coughed and sneezed and kind of was feeling kind of bleh, but nonetheless, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view. And I'm going to stop right there because I know DJ Joey Blaze and I threw out some predictions and I definitely want him to come on and revisit those and we'll talk a little more in depth about that here in the next week or two. My other fave is I got a gag gift, if you will. My girlfriend found it at Giant Eagle. It is the WWE theme song toothbrush featuring The Rock and John Cena. That's right. That's right. You press a button on the particular toothbrush, and you will hear the theme song of The Rock and of John Cena. Yes. Yes, that's right. You can brush your teeth to that or to John Cena's theme. And I think this is coming through, hopefully. Anyways, I laughed. I thought it was pretty damn funny. So, what the hell? I'm going to say it's a fave of mine. It makes brushing your teeth fun, I guess. Because I'm a kid at heart. As for Orlando's hates, the flu. Enough said. I have not been this sick in a very, very long time. And, oh man, it was awful. So I hope to never, ever get the flu ever again. I know many of you are probably going to be shocked by this. I did not get a flu shot this year. Whatevs. I'm going to make sure that that does not happen ever again. Because, man, oh man, this stuff sucks. So, anyways, with that, I'm going to start wrapping things up. I'll let you know where you get in touch with me if you'd like. You can always shoot me an email at johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter by simply looking for the handle of @PVDMVP. Same handle on Instagram. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for listening, but I'm going to head on out of here because I got to take some more medicine and hopefully feel a little bit better. So with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.